بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أوآباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب أبي عبد الله الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, respected Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And on behalf of the Light of Guidance, I welcome everybody and I congratulate everybody on the occasions of the births of Imam al-Hussein and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and Imam Zainul Abidin. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to have everybody here. Inshallah, to begin the program, we're going to welcome our dear brother Ali Hamdani to recite some Quran for us. And if I can just make a request from all of the brothers to please move forward and sit like up towards the front of the hall, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا. بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين. ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين. قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما. قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة والله خير الرازقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum one more time and welcome to everybody. Inshallah, before we have Sheikh Osama come up to the minbar and begin his lecture, just a few announcements. Next week, inshallah, on Friday, we will be gathering again for another program to commemorate the birth of Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman. So inshallah, we hope to see everybody there, and please, you know, spread the word and try to bring your friends and family out to the program. And inshallah, just another reminder that registration for the upcoming school year here at the Hadi Institute is now open. So if anybody has young children of school age, they can check out hadinstitute.com and just get some more information and some details on that. And inshallah, with that, we'll welcome our dear Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى على محمد وآل وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And I welcome each and every one of you to our program. This is the Good Life Lecture Series, but this week we have the special honor of being able to commemorate the birth of three of our greatest personalities. The first, of course, is Imam Hussein, and we're going to talk a little bit about him. But also, we've just recently experienced and been alive for the birth of Imam Sajjad, and also, of course, the birth of Hazrat Abbas. So please send a loud salawat. Now, what I want to talk about a little bit first is how lucky we are to have the ma'rifa of Imam Hussein. This is a blessing that I think I can definitely say for myself, and probably it's true for a lot of you, that we don't know how lucky we are to know Imam Hussein. We don't know. We don't get it. I don't know how lucky I am as a speaker to be able to have the honor and privilege to talk about the Imam. For brothers and sisters who get to recite poetry for the Imam, what are the rewards of reciting poetry for Imam Hussein? But if you look at our greats, you see that they were very different. When it came to the majlis of Imam Hussein, our greats were different. One example, Ayatollah al-Uzma, Sheikh Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani. This man was one of our greats, one of the awliya of Allah. We're talking about someone who is the teacher of Allama Tabatabai and one of the teachers of Ayatollah Behjat, arif, with spiritual disclosures, filsuf, a philosopher, faqih, marja. But you know what he would do when it came to the majalis of Ahlul Bayt? Till the end of his life, he had this practice where he would hold majalis for Imam Hussein, for Abu Abdullah, for the Ahlul Bayt, and the marja would take the shoes of the people who came into the majlis. Like you and I go to Karbala and we feel for the walk. We feel so embarrassed that somebody else, because of their love of Imam Hussein, would take our shoes, wax our shoes. The marja would take the shoes of the people who came in, and he would. The marja would serve tea. The marja. And people would protest that you're an old man, you're marja, you're faqih, you shouldn't be doing these things. You sit inside the majlis. It's our honor to have you in the majlis. He said, there's two things that I will never stop doing as long as I am alive. One of them is to serve these guests of Imam Hussein to take their shoes, and the other, the tea. Right? So this is because our greats, a little bit more than us, they know the status of the Imam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we knew the status of Imam Hussein with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would be more grateful for the ma'rifah of Imam Hussein. What's his status? Let me share what we find in some of our ahadith. They say that when Imam Hussein was born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took several incredible steps. Several incredible steps. What did he do? Out of the honor of Imam Hussein, he gave the order for the malaika who were in charge of hell, Jahannam. He said, temporarily, I want the fires of hell to be put out. Ridwan, who's in charge of guarding paradise, he said, I want to see paradise, Jannah. I want to see it adorned. The malaika, the angels who are in charge of receiving wahy, those angels were told, beautify your rows with dhikr of Allah, with hamd of Allah, with takbir. And then the other part was that Angel Jibreel, he was ordered to go to congratulate our Prophet. But it wasn't an ordinary celebration. You see, our Angel Jibreel was accompanied by 1,000 groups of malaika. Each group was 1,000,000 angels. So 1,000,000,000 angels descending with Angel Jibreel, the archangel. In addition to that, there's a select group of angels which are known as al-ruhaniyun. These are angels, malaika, who reside in the seventh heaven, the angels of mercy. The angels of mercy. They also were accompanying Angel Jibreel as he's descending to the earth. And as he was descending to the earth, one of the malaika sees this entourage, this heavenly entourage descending. He asks, he said, is it Qiyamah? This many of the malaika? And Angel Jibreel said that no. He said that our Prophet, he had a grandson. We're ordered to congratulate him and to tell him that God named him Hussein. So just a little bit, if we understood the maqam and the status. But again, I want to talk about how lucky we are. How we've been favored. How we've been favored. Now, if you and I, we can say that Imam Hussein is this person, he is that great, we have the honor of gathering, mentioning his names, calling ourselves, claiming to be amongst the Shia, fighting for his grandson. How can we ever repay God for this blessing? This is a big blessing. Everybody doesn't get this blessing. Not knowing Imam Hussein. There's a lot of people who don't know him. How do you and I repay God? How do we get favor with our Imam? Imam Hussein. How do I get favor with him? How do I get close to him? One of the beautiful ways we can repay Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, is if we know how valuable the ma'rifah of Hussein is. After that, we thank every person, appreciate every person who's been a means of me getting the ma'rifah of Imam Hussein. If I knew that I had been given the greatest gift on earth, then whoever was a means of me getting that gift, of having the ma'rifah of Imam Hussein, of not being opposed to him, not rebelling against his wilaya, how much would I thank and appreciate that person? Especially, brothers and sisters, for many of us, we have to definitely thank our parents. Even if our parents weren't perfect. Even if our parents weren't perfect, but they were a means of me getting to know Hussein. I appreciate anybody who did that. Now I have that in my heart. I want to give an example that will help us to appreciate others, inshallah. Especially our parents, and especially our mothers. If they were that means of us getting to know Imam Hussein. Having said that, let's say my mother wasn't, let's say. Even then, our parents, brothers and sisters, are the means of us coming into this world. Every good that you and I, we think we're doing now, who is the wasita? Who is the means? That's the way the Urafa train us. I saw a video once, article, and there was a man who was very grateful to his mother, non-Muslim, very grateful to his mother. But then what happened was his mother had given him up for adoption. How he was conceived was a whole story. His mother had given up to adoption, but he was so grateful. He said, she could have aborted me. She chose to give me, she had never even raised him. She hadn't done anything for him. But at least she gave him the chance. Now I'm a father. Now I'm in charge. Now I'm doing things. And this non-Muslim even, he was just so grateful for the chance of life. Let alone if my parents were the first people who introduced me to Imam Hussein so that I had that love in my heart. But I want to give you that example. The example, brothers and sisters, inshallah, will help us a little bit. Let's say you and I had a neighbor. And the neighbor wasn't perfect. Right? Sometimes you have neighbors, and every neighbor isn't perfect. Some neighbors even annoying. Annoying. But let's say you and I, we owed that neighbor big time. If we remember how much we owe somebody, it makes it easier to tolerate non-issues. Let's say, for instance, I owe this neighbor big time. What happened? Why do you owe this neighbor? My house caught fire. My three-year-old son was caught inside the house. The house was burning. The neighbor saw. The neighbor put himself in danger, ran, broke through that, put himself in danger, heard my son's screams, rescued my son. After that, no matter what people told me, my neighbor, for instance, he didn't cut the grass all the time. His car, he kept it dirty. He should keep his car. Could you and I even talk to the neighbor? Because the person had done me such a big favor. They've been so kind to me. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, because there's two parts to this speech. The second part of the speech is just me introducing a topic that we're going to take some time on. But it's a very important topic. But that's the second part of the speech. The first part of the speech is just appreciating that person who was a means of me getting the ma'rifah of Imam Hussein. There was a man, a great alim. And this great alim had a dream. In his dream, he saw that a young man walked into the courtyard of Imam Hussein, walked directly in front of the dhari of Imam Hussein, and Imam Hussein came out of the dhari to greet the young man. The man passed salams to the Imam, and the Imam gave him this warm smile, and he passed salams back. When he returned salams, the young man smiled. The great alim woke up from his dream, startled. He realized this is a true dream. Something is about to happen in the shrine of Imam Hussein. He got dressed. He quickly ran to the shrine and he waited. In one of the corners, he's waiting to see what's going to happen. After a little bit, he sees a young man enter into the shrine of Imam Hussein. The alim looks. He sees it's the exact same young man he had seen. The young man walks directly in front of the dhari of Imam Hussein. The difference now is because the alim's awake, he can't see Imam Hussein now. He just sees the young man, he goes in front, he sees the young man pass salams, and then he sees that smile on the face of the young man. Now the alim, he gets up and he says that, I have a question for you. What did you do that's so special that Imam Hussein comes to greet you? He passes salams to you. He smiles at you. And the young man told him a story. He said that actually, I'm from one of the local tribes around Karbala. We live a couple miles away. And I had elderly parents. He says, with my elderly parents, I made a deal with them a couple of months ago. I told them that I'm going to take some time, once a week, I'll take one of you to perform the ziyara of Hussein. He said, we had an animal, horse, a donkey. He says, but it was weak. It couldn't take two riders. I could only take one. So 1 week I would take my father, 1 week I take my mother. Made a deal. He says that 1 week I was taking my father, and I looked at my mother as I was about to leave the house, and I see that my mother is heartbroken. She's crying. I say, Mommy, why are you crying? I wanted to go for ziyara. He said, but Mommy, this isn't your week. Your week was last week. Today's Daddy's week. She said, I know. You're right. But I really wanted to go make ziyara, and I don't know if I'll be alive next week. The young man, when he heard this from his mother, he said, I'll take you, even if it means I put you on my head. He took his elderly mother and he put her on his back. So now he has his mother on his back and he's leading the steed and his father's riding on the, and walking. He said he started walking, but after a while, he was so exhausted he could only walk for carrying somebody. He would sit. Then he would get up and he would start walking and carrying his mother. He said, by the time I got to the shrine of Imam Hussein, I was staggering. He said, I just came in with my mother on my back. He said, I had my head down. I walked into the courtyard of Imam Hussein. He said, and then I saw Imam Hussein come out of the dhari. I passed salams to him. He smiled at me, and he passed those salams. He said, my parents passed. But this has continued from that time. So appreciation of Imam Hussein, who he is, who everyone, who is a means of me getting to know this Imam, because of how he is with God. Very, very important lesson for us, if we want to get that ma'rifah of the Imam. Salawat, please. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Having said that, I'd like there to be a practical side to our gathering, where we learn from Sayyid al-Shuhada. And the topic that I want to talk about is actually one that's very needed. It's one of the arkan of a successful family. There are certain things, if they're observed in a family, the family can experience God's best. If they're not observed in a family, the family members will never feel that great sense of sakina. We got married to have a sense of peace, tranquility. But without observing certain pillars, certain arkan that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us, and this one that I want to share, it'll take some weeks for us to discuss this properly. It's not even something that I could go over, just tell us in 5 minutes, tell us what it is, let's get out of here. No. But just know that it's one of the pillars. Now, one of the things that you and I noticed from Imam Hussein is this. We'll start it off in this way. One of the things that we noticed from the camp of Aba Abdullah is that in the camp of Aba Abdullah, there were clear gender roles. Men were men and women were women. And the tarbiyah of Imam Hussein was such that the men who are the results of the tarbiyah of Aba Abdullah were man's men. The women also. Whether you refer to individuals like Abbas, for instance, like Imam Sajjad, like the other men in that, like the shuhada, or on the other way, the women in the camp. Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Sakina, the women of Bani Hashim, the wives of the shuhada. One of the things that you see is that the gender roles were very clear. Now, one question that's on the minds of a lot of us as parents, especially now living in the end of times, is alhamdulillah, here in the Hadi family, we have a lot of little boys and little girls. In some ways, we're almost more worried about raising our boys in this time than we are our girls. But we have to do both. Meaning, the way that we're living in a time where it is a challenge. It's not popular. If you want to go over the method of the Ahlul Bayt so that your boys come out to be men in the Islamic sense of the word, or your girls turn out to be women as Islam has said. Some of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, they're not politically correct. You have to be willing as a mu'min to hear a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, ayat of the Quran. What does God say? How do we do this? Are there best means? How is it? Because we see the end result. The end result of the tarbiyah of Imam Hussein is someone like Imam Sajjad. And again, brothers and sisters, he's not appreciated. We're talking again about a man's man. A man's man. A little bit about Imam Sajjad, but again, let's not forget the point. And then after that, inshallah, we'll spend some time properly talking about it. A man's man. Imam Sajjad, brothers and sisters, do you remember when his imamate began? On the plains of Karbala. You want to talk about a challenge. The imamate of the imam begins on the plains of Karbala. Our imam, first of all, so sick for those few days in the beginning. But just think about it as a challenge, meaning the tarbiyah of Imam Hussein. What did he do that he came up with sons like Imam Sajjad, like Ali Akbar, like brothers like Abu? What did he do? How did he do this? What is it in the path of the Ahlul Bayt that makes us come out? What were those women like? The emotional relationship between the imam, and you've heard these things. The relationship, the words, the conversations are recorded about what our imam said to his daughter. We've seen those end results. But an imam, like Imam Sajjad, you start in captivity. The Shias are broken. Broken. We're talking about a broken community. To go with no support, with all of Islam in the balance and nothing between Islam and the efforts of the Anbiya being removed from the face of the earth, but a tiny caravan led by one charismatic leader. And then when I say a man's man, what does that even mean? To be able to stand in the courtyard of Yazid, the courtyard of Ubaydullah, and to give those fiery speeches, the imam, it's over. They won, but no. Where the imam explains the true stance of Islam versus the tawaghit. We're talking about legendary speeches. But after that, for 34 long years, the most creative methods of how to preserve Islam and grow Islam. The imam, we've heard some of these hadith because we've talked about it before, when we talked about the history of Imam Sajjad, that literally the resistance had become three people. Three people. What did Imam Sajjad do for 34 long years? Blood, sweat, and tears. A tireless fighter. And then able to bring us back to the time of Imam Baqir? No, it was very different. The time of Imam Sajjad, very different. We owe our lives to this Imam. But again, let's look a little bit, because we don't only want to glorify the Imam. What are the best practices? What happened? What's different? Because when we look at the life of Imam Sajjad, and I want to share just a little bit about the life of Imam Sajjad, again, we're going to lose the point, but we're not going to talk about it all tonight. We're just going to prepare ourselves mentally to hear what it means according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt, so that our boys are raised to be men, our girls are raised to be women, our husbands and wives interact in such a way where the man feels like the wali of the house, The wife feels like a flower. Is it just, no, we have to go for the ahadith, hear these things. What happens if we don't? If we don't, brothers and sisters, those people who don't follow those practice of the Ahlul Bayt will never experience God's best in their families. Anyhow, when we say the personality of Imam Sajjad, this hero, this champion, who was then martyred, let's just talk a little bit about other dimensions of his personality. Again, we're looking for what was those best practices? What is it that we can do? Part of the personality of Imam Sajjad is his relationship with God. You see, brothers and sisters, it all starts with that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to look a little bit at what we find in some of the hadith about the relationship of Imam Sajjad, the training of Imam Hussein, training of Ahlul Bayt. What was his relationship like with God? You see, there's certain things, certain lines that you only find in the dua of Ahlul Bayt. You just literally, you search, and alhamdulillah, the hadith, each one of the hadith of the imams need to be written with gold. But there's some things you find in the dua of Ahlul Bayt. Gems. Let me share a few of them with you. One of them, because if we want to raise our children, our women to be women, our men to be men, we want to do this the right way. It all starts with our relationship with Him, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts with love of God. Accepting God as our Mawla, as our master. But now when you want to talk about love of God, let me just borrow a few lines from Imam Sajjad. Who are we talking about this personality? The Imam says this in the dua. He's talking about God. We see here his ghaira for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he doesn't even want God to be misunderstood. Listen, he says this. He's talking to God. He says, "In tu'adhibni, O Allah, if you are to punish me, if you are to chastise me, فَإِنِّي لِذَلِكَ أَحْلٌ, I deserve this. I don't want anybody to think God is unjust. I've got a problem with God. If it happens that you end up," he says, he continues, he says, "وَهُوَ يَا رَبْ مِنْكَ عَدْلٌ, it's justice if you punish me. God is good. The results don't matter. I worship a good God." Number two, the extent of the willingness to sacrifice for God. I heard this from one of the ulama. Imam Hussein showed us what kind of a God we had and practically demonstrated how good God was when he gave that sacrifice. He says, after that, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he introduced that God of Imam Hussein. Who is that God? Listen to this next line. Because that first part reminded us of what we find in the dua of the Imam, all the Imams used to recite this one dua, the one that we recite for Sha'ban. Every Imam recited this. What did the Imam say about God? How much do they love God? He says this, "In adkhaltani an-nar, O Allah, if you cause me to enter hell, a'lamtu ahlaha anni uhibbuk, I would tell the inhabitants of hell that I love you. You're a good God. Maybe I made a mistake. You're a good God." Starts with that relationship with God. After that, to what extent is Imam Sajjad willing to sacrifice for Allah? Brothers, I literally haven't heard this anywhere else. Allahu a'lam, I don't know everything. I haven't heard this anywhere else. The Imam says this. This is dua number 50. Saifa. He says, "O Allah, farhamni. O Allah, have mercy on me. Farhamni Allahumma, fa inni imra'un haqir." He says that I'm a nobody. Have mercy on me. I'm a nobody. Wa khatari yasir. I have no value. Wa laysa adhabi mimma yazidu fi mulkika mithqala dharra. He said, "But God, please have mercy on me. Punishing me won't increase your kingdom even one iota. Forgive me." Punishing me? What would that do for you? It won't increase your kingdom. But then this, listen to the next part. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ عَذَابِي But if my chastisement, مِمَّا يَزِيدُ فِي مُلْكِكَ If it were such, that would increase in your kingdom. لَسَأَلْتُكَ صَابْرَ عَلَيْهِ I would have asked you for patience. If it would help, if it would help the cause, the adhab of God, لَسَأَلْتُكَ صَابْرَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ لَكَ And I would have loved that it came from you. What kind of love are we talking about? We say a man's man. It all starts with that. In addition to that, and again, this isn't all about Imam Sajjad. We're just kind of getting to know a little bit the tarbiyah of Imam Hussein so we can train our children so that they know their roles. So they can serve the Imam. How was our Imam when it came to people? Imam Sajjad, the training of Imam Hussein. Even those who had been wronged, who done wrong to him. Salawat, please. Our Imam, Imam Sajjad, lived in the times of some of the most terrible tawaghit. Literally legendary, how terrible they were. And our Imam bested them at their game. Now, because the Imam is the symbol of the resistance, he's Sayyidul Muqawama, he's leading the charge, obviously the pressure on the Imam is much more than anyone else. Our Imam was in Medina at this time. And there was a governor who had been appointed by Marwan named Hisham bin Ismail. And remember, Imam Sajjad is public enemy number one. And the person who's there on the behalf of the Tawhut is a bully. The stuff he did to the people of Medina, Walid. But then let alone one person is the enemy of the state. How many insults, how terrible did he treat Imam Sajjad? Now, what happened was, eventually power shifted hands. One of the most terrible of the tawaghit was Abdul Malik. His son Walid has now come into power. So let's do a political stunt. Let's show everybody how we're just, how we're kind. He said, I'm going to remove Hisham, and I'm going to put my cousin, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He's going to be, but we'll go a step further. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, I'm here to establish justice. He said, I want Hisham to be made to stand in front of the house of Marwan, the former Khalifa. Perhaps he's in chains now, police guard. And he said, anybody in Medina who was wronged by this man over these 4 years, come and get qisas. And the people have been living under that kind of a tawhut. And now you have your chance. So people would come over. Now they have Hisham pinned. Just imagine, one person slap, one person kick, one person, right? Can't do anything now. And Hisham is waiting. He said, but the one who I'm afraid of is Imam Sajjad. The amount of dirt I did to him. And then the thing is, he knew how wonderful the Imam was. So he's taking it from everybody. But then he's just waiting for that moment when the Imam comes to get revenge. The Imam approached and a group of the children of Ali, his people, the Imam comes. And the Imam said this. He said, we are not like this, Tarbiyah of Ahlul Bayt. We don't kick a man when he's down. We don't kick a man when he's down. Yes, while there's war, yeah, 100%. Imam Ali didn't back down from any, but then the person runs, the person, right? Now this guy's trapped. He said, we don't do that. The Imam approached this man. The man is shivering. He's, I've done so much dirt. It's all over for me. They said the Imam called him cousin. Pass salams to him. If you need anything, let me know. The other people in Medina, when they saw how the Imam was treating him, everybody else in Medina left the man alone. This kind of a well-rounded personality. This is what we're talking about. And again, our point is the training of Ahlul Bayt that we have to spend time on. We're not going to be able to do it all tonight. Not going to be able to do any of it tonight. Sometimes I find people like myself, we don't appreciate Imam Sajjad enough. We don't go for him in our hajat. We don't make him the wasila between us and God. Because we don't know him as well. We don't know what he did for us. But those who've gone to Imam Sajjad, the way that he answers, the way that he helps is something else, brothers and sisters. I want to give you a story of the students of Imam Sajjad for us to... It's a true story. Okay? Inshallah, let's keep the lesson in line. Let's go to Imam Sajjad, but true story. One of our shuhada, this is recent. One of our shuhada, his name is Hajj Kadhim Najafi Rastegar. This man was one of our incredible commanders. The amount of bravery. And the other interesting thing about this man was that he didn't want to be seen and noticed. Mukhlis. Would run away from the idea of being noticed, being appreciated. But the shaja'ah of this man. Anyhow, he became shaheed. His mother had a true dream. His mother had a true dream. In her dream, she sees our shaheed. The shaheed tells his mother, he says, I'm in paradise and my place is good. Alhamdulillah. He says, do you want something from paradise? You want something from paradise? The mother says, she says, no, I don't want anything from paradise, but if you're in paradise, there is one thing. The mother said, I attend Quranic circle gatherings where people recite Quran. What kind of a mother raised this? How much commitment does she have to Quran? I attend these Quranic gatherings, but I can't read Quran. I'm illiterate. And I'm sitting there and all the sisters are all reciting Quran and everybody knows that I'm illiterate. Kindly they tell me, well, sister, you just say Surah Qul Hu Allah. She said, I feel so embarrassed. She said, if you're in paradise, ask God to allow me to read Quran. The son listened carefully to his mother. He said, Mommy, tomorrow, after Fajr prayers, pick up your Quran and read, inshallah. Next morning, the mother wakes up and she remembers what her son told her in her dream. She picks up this illiterate woman. She picks up the Quran and she can read now. The news spreads like wildfire. How did you learn how to read? Everybody knew she's an old woman. How did you learn how to read? Her other son, not Shaheed, other son, he says that I went to Ayatollah al-Uzma, Nuri Hamadani. And I explained to him the situation. This is the karama of the Shaheed. With the help of the Shaheed, my mother has learned how to read. She was illiterate before. Would you mind testing my mother? Ayatollah al-Uzma, Nuri Hamadani. The Ayatollah said, yeah, why not? He came and he brought a special Quran, because this is a test now. He brings a special Quran. And he tells this old lady, he says, Bismillah, go ahead and read. The lady reads, and some parts of it, literally, the illiterate woman can read like anything. Some parts of it she can't. Where's your Quran? They give that. Now she's reading. The Ayatollah starts crying. The Grand Ayatollah, he starts crying. He says, the Quran that we brought to you, we had messed with the Arabic and certain parts so that it wouldn't be ayat of the Quran. We mixed their words around a little bit. She's an illiterate woman. She wouldn't know. The family doesn't know. It looks like Quran. It's all Arabic. The parts that you could read were Quran. The other parts, we mixed one of the Arab, we moved this letter like that. The grand Ayatollah takes the shador of the old lady and he kisses it. This is the students of Imam Sajjad, not Imam Sajjad. I encourage all of us to go to that Imam. But now, let's not forget our point, meaning this is something though that we have to discuss over several sessions. What is it that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us about gender roles? If we want to do it the right way, how should husband be? How should wife be? How should children be? How do we raise boys so they're the soldiers of the Imam? How do we raise our girls so that they're the Sayyidah Zainabs and Sayyidah Sakinas? And if we learn that we've made certain mistakes, and we weren't perfect, again, we don't lose hope. This line is also from Imam Sajjad when he introduces God. The believer never loses hope. What does the Imam teach us when it comes to God? He says this, Ya mubaddil as-sayyi'at bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat. God, you are the one who changes sins into multiple good deeds. How can I lose hope? We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, to accept what was said and heard in his way. We ask him to make us the true soldiers of the Mahdi. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you again, respected Sheikh Osama. And just a reminder again to everybody that inshallah we'll be here again next week, Friday evening, same time. Friday evening, inshallah, we'll let you guys know the time to commemorate the birth of Imam al-Zaman. So inshallah, we hope to see everybody then. And you guys can stay updated for the times and the dates of the different programs on all of the different social media accounts at Light of Guidance on Instagram and all of the other WhatsApp and so on and so forth. Thank you again, and sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء